You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Today I have a guy who was on here one of the first few times I did it. His name is Mike Silski. I'm pretty sure you know of him. He's award-winning Mike Silski, Inquirer columnist. One of the best around in the country, y'all. But today, we want to talk about the problem that Brett Brown's about to have. I mean, look at it, Mike. You know, we were beforehand, we always talked about being a crowded center spot.
Yep.
But Nerlens Noel just played one game. He wasn't back. You know, and then, you know, Joel Embiid did not play the last game.
Right.
Jahlil Okafor missed a few games. Tomorrow night against the Toronto Raptors, he'll have all three centers active. Let's talk about that.
This is where, to me, the whole point of this season, this is where it begins, is that you know, through what Sam Hinkie had done from the moment he had become the GM to what Brian Colangelo has continued, you've accumulated these three big men, Embiid, Okafor, and Noel. With Ben Simmons on the way. Now, Simmons is a little bit different. He's either going to be a point guard or a power forward or some kind of combination thereof. But the point is, amongst these three guys, Noel, Okafor, Embiid, Brett's got to figure out how to divvy up minutes, and he's got to figure out who can play with who. And he doesn't have a whole lot of time to do it. And what's funny about it, you know, we were talking about this before we started the podcast. At the beginning of the season, everybody was excited to see, oh, okay, let's see if Embiid and Okafor can play together. That's never, as far as I can tell, that hasn't materialized at all. They've even been reluctant to even try that. And now you've got a situation where it's, okay, how does Noel fit into this? You know, we saw what happened last year. It doesn't really work when he's on the floor with Jahlil Okafor. I think, in theory, it should work better with him and Embiid on the floor, but this is what Brett's got to figure out.
Yeah, you're right. This is Brett has to figure out. And also, you know, not only that, you have a guy like Rashawn Holmes, and I know this is the NBA, and you shouldn't feel sorry for people because, you know, they're all getting paychecks and stuff like that. But a guy like Rashawn Holmes, who's proven that he deserves to play.
He's pretty good, yeah.
He's pretty good. And you can argue that in certain situations, he has been the best big on the floor in certain situations.
Well, look, he's certainly more active defensively than Jahlil Okafor is. And he gives you he's the kind of guy I feel like a team needs. Like, he doesn't care if he gets the ball at all, but he's active on the offensive end. You know, for those Sixers fans who remember about, you know, 8 or 9 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, he's like a more talented version of Reggie Evans. Mm-hmm. Like, Reggie Evans, just all he wanted to do was go out there and grab every rebound he could and pass it to somebody else so that he didn't have to shoot it. And Holmes can do that, and he can play a little bit. You know, he's a better player than Reggie Evans was. So, you know, I think this is going to come down to them eventually dealing Okafor. But
you think?
I think so. Okay. But because I think Noel, because of what he can give you defensively, makes for a better combination player with Embiid.
Okay.
That's me. I mean, what do you think?
I mean, you know what? I think that right now there's, in a perfect world, I think that would happen. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit on the fence now because the reason being is, you know, Noel doesn't like the situation.
Right. Yeah,
you know, the Sixers don't like the fact that Noel
doesn't like the situation.
Doesn't like the situation. They want public that he doesn't like the situation. You know, there's another thing where, you know, I feel like, you know, they didn't re-sign him or they didn't extend his contract. I just think that there's a lot of hurt. I think that what has to happen is that you have to have Noel and his representation, Brian Colangelo and his front office people, and Brett Brown. They have to get in the room and they have to have a great conversation to discuss things out, to work it out. Now, me personally, I feel like that is a little unfortunate the way things went down, because think about it. If you went to Nerlens Noel, or if Nerlens Noel was up to it, if they said to him, look, Nerlens, you know, this is Joel's team. There's no ifs, ands, and buts. Joel is the man. Mm-hmm. However, we love what you do, right? We'll give you the max. Mm-hmm. We'll give you the max, but you'll come off the bench, you'll do a lot of things, but you'll still be a star in this city. Mm-hmm. You know, And I think that maybe he would have to think long and hard about that. But the fact that nothing happened and he didn't get signed, I think that feelings are a little hard. But again, I do agree with you thinking that for the Sixers moving forward, keeping Nerlens Noel would be their best option.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point you're making about the comfort that these guys have in this situation. I'm looking at it more from a stylistic standpoint. Yeah. And I think if Nerlens is smart, which I'm not sure how smart he was to come out and say what he said publicly, that doesn't change the fact that, you know, what he might be telling Colangelo and what his people might be telling Colangelo and Brett Brown behind closed doors. But he comes off as the bad guy now. Mm-hmm. And I do think from just a pure basketball standpoint, he has the potential to be as good a complementary player as you can be in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from a basketball standpoint, he fits better with what you want to do. He's so versatile defensively.
Mm-hmm.
He can score just enough. He can do just enough on offense that you probably have to account for him a little bit. Hey, if we boxed him out, because if Embiid misses his shot, we know Noel's going to come flying in for a rebound, maybe a putback dunk. Those sorts of things fit better with, I think, the team the Sixers are going to be than what Okafor is, which is suspect on the defensive end. We don't know if he's going to get any better. And the kind of player who, if he doesn't have the ball in his hands in offense, isn't much of use to anybody. Mm-hmm. And he's great when he has the ball in his hands, but what else is he going to do for you if he doesn't? So, you know, if I were the Sixers, I think you're right. I think your point is well taken. Do what you have to do to try to mend this situation with Noel, because he's the better option for you going forward.
He is. He is. And Okafor said it after they played Sunday in Detroit. He said, "We got our leader back."
Mm.
And it's like, whoa, you know, we got the guy who's the leader in the locker room. So that speaks volume. But then when you look at it, I mean, let's just talk about Embiid a little bit. I know he's only played in 15 games. But, you know, here's a guy who's averaging 18.2 points, 7.6 rebounds, 2.53 blocks, which would be ranked in the top five. The only thing is he hasn't played enough games.
Right.
You know.
And he's not playing all that many minutes in the games he does play.
Exactly. 20. You know, he's averaging, 23.6 minutes per game. I mean, has he really taken you by surprise a little bit?
He has, only from the standpoint that we had seen so little of him in college and we had seen nothing from him in the NBA. I don't know if you remember this. We were talking about this on Media Day when he sat down and talked about his offseason, talked about how excited he was about the season, talked about how much he had studied the game. He talked like someone who already regarded himself as among the upper echelon elite players in the league. And he hadn't played a minute of NBA basketball yet.
Yeah.
And that really took me – I was taken aback by that. Like, wow, like this guy really thinks he's good and we don't have anything to go on yet.
Yeah.
Like they hadn't even played a preseason game yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we know why. I mean, I saw a metric the other day. I don't know. I forget where I saw it. It was somewhere on Twitter and I forget who put it out, whether it was ESPN, Hoops Hype, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it basically said that with Joel Embiid off the floor this season – the way the Sixers have played, statistically speaking, they would be on course to win 25 games. They'd go 25-57 if they didn't have Embiid at all this year based on the way they've played so far without him. With him on the floor this year, they go 42-40.
Wow.
They're already on the periphery of being in the playoffs, maybe being a playoff team with him here. If that doesn't fill you with optimism, if you're a Sixers fan, I don't know what does.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, and the fact that you know, the thing that really impressed me, and I said this before, is that you see him go up against elite players, and he looks like he belongs.
Yep.
Like, I mean, he, you know, after the game, they're like dapping him up like, "Hey, big fella, you know, I'm glad that I got to play against you." Like, and nothing against Andrew Wiggins, and I just want to compare him to him. Like, Andrew Wiggins looks good, but when he goes up against the Carmelo Anthonys and the LeBron James of the world, guys in his position, it's like, okay, he still has a ways to go. Like, he's still good, but he's just cracking the surface.
Well, I think one of the things that doesn't get talked about enough in the NBA is that the league, players come into the league so young now that when they go up against, take Wiggins for example, when he goes up against a Carmelo or a LeBron, it's not just a matter of experience and savvy. There is a physical difference between those guys who have added more muscle, have, you know, their bodies are different. Their bodies are girded for a full season of NBA basketball and have been for several years now. They're bigger. They're thicker than Andrew Wiggins is. Embiid doesn't have that problem. He's 7'2", he's 300 pounds, he's muscle, he can take a guy outside, he's fast enough to, I mean, look at him off the dribble. I mean, my God. You know, so I think that's a big difference, is that maybe those 2 years away, you know, we were all worried about the weight he's putting on and is he drinking too many Shirley Temples, but he's thickened up over time. And so that probably plays into what you're talking about, that he can physically battle these veteran guys because he's built a little bit more like them than a guy like a Wiggins or even a Karl Anthony Towns might be.
And I also, and to follow up on the Shirley Temples and the weight, I also think if I'm the Sixers, and someone told me this, if I'm the Sixers, I'm happy that that got out because it was an embarrassment to him a little bit. So whereas he took his weight training and he took his workouts a little bit more seriously, and he did shed some pounds. But you said, look at him, he's a man now. But
yeah,
hey, it was great talking to you. I know we got to get ready to practice, but it was great talking to you. And hey, like you said, Brett Brown. His job gets tough now. His job gets real. Now he has to see how he does with these minutes and how he's going to keep all three players happy. He went on record and said it's not his job to keep people happy, but we'll see what comes of that.
We'll see how that goes.
And thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Keith.
And I want to thank you all for listening to today's Locked On Sixers. And I'll be back tomorrow. And make sure you listen then. Peace.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Things get real.
Ooh. Yeah.